Welcome to the Spending Habits module. When completing the module, sit in a quiet place, take your time, move at your own pace, and take regular breaks, and write down any questions you may have and bring them with you to your in-person counseling session. Spending Habits Overview. You should now be getting close to the end of your insolvency, unless your BIA counselor has customized your counseling and rearranged the order of the online modules to better suit your specific needs. The modules in the Planning for the Future stage are meant to prepare you for post-insolvency success. They will provide you with the tools to help you stay on track. Your daily spending habits can either support your plans or they can work against your plans. This module focuses on developing spending strategies that support healthy financial habits, helping you stick to your budget and achieve your financial goals. The aim of this module is to provide you with tools to develop positive spending habits. This will allow you to use your money in a way that lets you succeed with balancing your spending and your income in order to maintain financial stability. With spending habits that work for your situation, you will be well on your way to a stable financial future. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Your spending habits. Understanding your spending habits. A habit is something that you do so regularly that it is almost involuntary. You do not think about habits, you just do them. With smart spending habits, your money goes further. If you track your expenses, then your spending habits will stand out. Below are some examples of spending habits that can affect your ability to stick to your budget and reach your financial goals. Consider the following questions. Do you pay with cash or a credit card? How often do you buy food from a grocery store rather than from a restaurant? Do you tend to go grocery shopping with or without a list of what you need? If you have already reviewed the budgeting module and the setting and achieving financial goals module, then you would have created a budget and set your financial goals. You did this by differentiating between your needs and wants while considering the concepts of financial stability and financial security. Financial stability is the ability to manage financial risk and absorb financial shocks. It provides you with the ability to bounce back from, or withstand, pressure, change, or stress related to your finances. Financial security is the peacefulness you feel when your income is enough to cover all of your expenses. It suggests that you have enough money coming in to cover emergencies and future financial goals. When you spend your money, these same concepts are used to guide your decisions. A budget is a plan for how you spend your money. Your spending habits are a way you put your plan into action. Sticking to your plan can be hard at times. The key is to develop spending habits that will help you balance your spending with your income. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Prioritizing spending. Your needs and wants. Prioritizing your spending decisions can help you form responsible spending habits. If you have already reviewed the budgeting module, then you may remember learning about the difference between a need and a want. The same thought process can be applied when making purchase decisions. Is this purchase a need or a want? What is a need? A need is a necessity, something that is essential for living. What is a want? A want is a desire, something that is non-essential for living, but that you would like to have. One person's want may be another person's need. For example, for someone who lives near a bus route, a car may be a luxury. However, for another person who does not have access to public transit and cannot bike to work, a car may be a necessity. Needs and wants change over time. For example, a full-sized washer and dryer can be a need when you're raising a family. However, apartment-sized models can be what you need when your children are grown up and you have downsized to a smaller home. Spending more than necessary to meet essential needs for clothing, food, or even housing can also be considered a want. Think about the things in your life, and if you are unsure whether they are needs or wants, then write them down and bring them with you to your in-person session to discuss with your counselor. Here are some practical ways to prioritize your spending to align with your needs and wants, as well as your financial goals. Step principle. The step principle is about considering alternatives to the item you want to purchase. Which alternative most aligns with your plan? Take food as an example. There are many choices. All of these choices satisfy your nutritional need. Moving down the scale, the choices are less expensive, yet still satisfy your nutritional need. There are many choices. All of the choices satisfy nutritional need. However, you will find as you move away from a need to a want, the choices become more expensive. For example, the first step to meet the need for food would be to cook from home. The next step would be ready-to-cook meals, then fast food, then family restaurant, and at the top of the want steps, there is fine dining. To improve your finances without hampering your lifestyle, you can make the decision to choose a less expensive alternative by stepping down the staircase. Purchasing a good or service that is one or two steps down frees up money to save or spend on something else. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Trade-off principle. Purchase options are limitless, but your financial resources are limited. Therefore, it is wise to consider the trade-off needed in order to purchase something. What would I be willing to give up to have this item? Can I accept the short and long-term consequences of this decision? If this item is important, how can I make it fit into my purchase plan? How much will this purchase really cost me in time, effort, money, and lost opportunities? Examples of a trade-off. Did you know that the price of a basic coffee from the coffee shop is at least $2 more expensive than making the same cup at home? If you choose to make your coffee at home instead of buying one on the way to work, you could save approximately $500 annually. The trade-off principle, example 1. Emily really enjoys a nice cup of coffee. She splurges once a week at the local coffee shop. Emily's local grocery store sells the same coffee beans, so Emily could make her favorite coffee at home every day. For the next example, Steve loves baseball and is considering season tickets to the local minor league club. His home internet package runs about the same cost as the season tickets. Steve has to evaluate the trade-off between his internet package versus the season tickets. Think about the trade-offs that Emily and Steve faced. Can you think of trade-off purchases in your life? Remember to keep these images in mind when making decisions about what to purchase. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. The 1-2-3 system. Another helpful way to set spending priorities is the 1-2-3 system. This system lets you rate all of your expenses on a scale from 1 to 3. You should prioritize purchasing all of your Category 1 expenses first, Category 2 expenses second, and Category 3 expenses last. For example, in Category 1, you would put items that are essential for healthy living, such as food, shelter, and clothing. Category 2 is items that are not essential, but still important, such as a bicycle or transit pass, running shoes, or a cell phone. Category 3 is comprised of items that are not essential and not important. Examples would include candy bars, spa treatments, and music downloads. Now that you've reviewed the step principle, the trade-off principle, and the 1-2-3 system, which of these ways of prioritizing your spending do you think would work best for you? Try making a habit of using at least one of those ways. There are many different ways to prioritize spending, and everyone is different. If you feel the options above do not suit you, do not give up or get discouraged. Look for other ways and discuss different options with your counselor. You just learned about practical ways to help prioritize spending. When prioritizing, be sure to consider the entire cost. Often there are additional costs that follow the original purchase. Consider the example of purchasing a pet. Besides the original purchase price, there are other costs of owning a pet. Consider all the costs of your decisions. Buying a pet is not the only purchase which results in additional costs and payments. There are many other examples of purchases that end up costing more than their original purchase price. Buying a house, buying a car, and going away for school are all examples of purchases with additional costs. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Consider taking a 5 to 10 minute study break at this point. Responsible spending. Know what you spend and how you pay. In this section, you will learn how to become aware of your spending habits and which habits can pose a risk to your financial well-being. Being in control of your spending means tracking where, when, how, and what you are spending your money. Once you have a system, it is easy to keep track of your daily expenses. Below are a few of the tracking options which are outlined in the lesson on record keeping from the budgeting module. You may want to review the budgeting module. Keep all of your receipts, or record expenses as you spend. This can be done in a notebook, calendar, computer program, or mobile application. Use your bank's expense categorization software built into online banking, and/or download information from your online banking account into a spreadsheet. There are risks associated with disclosing your online banking and credit card information to third-party financial mobile applications and/or online services. Make sure you review the user agreement carefully to determine whether sharing your information with another party will result in losing your protection against unauthorized transactions. When in doubt, do not share your banking information, and if you are at risk, contact your bank immediately and change your online banking passwords. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Risky spending habits. Tracking your spending allows you the opportunity to review your habits and identify the ones that pose a risk to your financial well-being. This section will give you information to help you identify some potentially risky habits and strategies to avoid these habits. Impulse purchasing and compulsive spending. We live in a culture of consumption in which we are constantly encouraged to spend. Impulse purchasing is a decision made in the spur of the moment. When making an impulse purchase, you probably aren't thinking about what effect the purchase will have on your budget or if you are able to afford it. Here are a few strategies that you can use to help you avoid making impulse purchases. Avoid unnecessary trips to shopping malls. Go shopping with a list and stick to it. Identify the moods that affect your spending behaviors. Stressed, happy, sad, hungry, tired, distracted, and find ways to avoid shopping during those moods. The payment method can also influence your ability to make impulse purchases. Consider the following strategies to avoid impulse spending. Leave your credit cards at home and delete your credit card information from your mobile payment/digital wallet account. Set up a bank account to keep your savings separate from your checking and have your bank remove access to your savings account from your bank card. Online shopping. Consumers choose to shop online due to the convenience of the round-the-clock access and front-door delivery. However, this very convenience can also enable impulse purchasing. If shopping online has led you to make too many impulse purchases, you may want to reduce the temptation. Try unsubscribing from online realtors. Go into the store and pay with cash. The act of physically going to a store and paying with cash makes people more aware of how much they are spending. This may help reduce online shopping and impulse purchases. Speak to your counselor if you are having trouble with impulse purchasing, online shopping, and/or compulsive spending. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Impact on spending when using credit. It is important to know that using credit is neither good nor bad. Credit is a tool. As with any kind of tool, whether it is good or bad depends on how you use it. Credit enables habits which pose a risk to your financial well-being. It is easier to impulsively buy something when you have credit available to you. It is easier to shop online when you have credit available to you. It is easier to satisfy a spending compulsion when you have credit available to you. Having credit available to you isn't the cause of these habits, however, it makes it easier to form these habits. Why is this? It is important to understand the connection between habits which pose a risk to your financial well-being, and credit makes it easier to form risky spending habits. If credit is not used responsibly, it will pose a risk to your financial well-being. Overusing credit can become a serious financial problem. The reason credit makes it easier to form these habits is simply that it gives you more opportunity to make the purchase by giving you greater purchasing power. Without credit, you would only be able to form these habits if you had the cash. With credit, you don't immediately need the cash. These are some signs that you are using credit as a tool in a way that is putting your financial well-being at risk. Your monthly spending is more than your monthly income. Your credit cards are maxed out. You only make the minimum payment on your credit card balance, and/or you use one credit card to make the monthly payment of another. Consider these strategies for using credit responsibly. Use your budget and let your financial goals guide your spending decisions. Consider your current balance, not your credit limit. Remember you have to pay it back. And use your credit card only for things you would have purchased anyway. For example, your essential expenses like groceries. People tend to spend more with credit than with cash, and are even willing to pay more for the same product when using credit instead of cash. If you have questions, write them down and bring them to your in-person counseling session. Congratulations! You have now completed the Spending Habits module.